Not the wise man.
We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
And good morning to you, Brevard County. Thank you for tuning into the Refresh radio program right here on WMIE 91.5 FM. Today's Modern Worship, we pray that you had a marvelous Resurrection Sunday celebration at your church, and that you are ready to walk in the newness of life, the resurrection power that has been provided to us through our Lord and Savior and his resurrection from the dead. It's because of the resurrection that we can have hope that we're going to spend eternity with our loved ones in heaven, and that is a wonderful thing. It means that we do not sorrow as the world sorrows because they have no hope. We are never in a hopeless situation because our hopeless situations encounters the God of all hope, and we are prisoners of that hope. And as a result of that, we do not despair. We are not victims. We are victorious through Christ Jesus. And so today I would like to say thank you to the folks at Coastal Image Landscapes, 321-208-2281. 321-208-2281. If you are now past Resurrection Sunday and you say, you know, summer's not that far away and I'd like to upgrade my outdoor appearance so that we can enjoy the summer evenings as a family out there, and maybe you're looking to just reduce what amount of yard you have to mow. Maybe you're looking to put in a fire pit or paver stones, things like that. All of those are right up Coastal Image Landscapes skill set. And so I encourage you to call them, 321-208-2281. They're celebrating the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And God has gifted them with a skill set that they could put to use on your project, and you will be glad that you called them. Tell them you heard about them on the Refresh radio program, and that would be greatly appreciated. 321-208-2281, and tell them Pastor Bob said hello. So today we are returning to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 16. The book of 1 Corinthians chapter 16. We're going through a passage, and I'll just read the context for you. It's verses 13 through 18. We've already covered verses 13 and 14, but it sets you up for where we are in the context of verse number 15, which is the passage that brought us here, because we are looking at what does a devoted life of a believer look like. So verse 13 says this: watch, stand fast in the faith, be brave, be strong, let all that you do be done with love. I urge you, brethren, you know the household of Stephanas, that it is the first fruits of Achaia, and that they have devoted themselves to the ministry of the saints, that you also submit to such, and to everyone who works and labors with us. I am glad about the coming of Stephanas, Fortunatus, and Achaicus, for what was lacking on your part they supplied, for they refreshed my spirit and yours. Therefore acknowledge such men. So Paul is not just sharing with them information. He's not just building them up. Paul feels very strongly about the things that he is getting ready to say about the household of Stephanas. So here a few weeks ago, I received a phone call from a pastor. We had a family There had been a death in the family in 2022, and the remaining spouse moved out of state shortly thereafter. And this pastor was calling, and he said, "I was just wanting to talk to you just a little bit about this person. And you don't have to call me back. You can send me a text, because many times I don't hear my phone." And so I called him back. It had only been a couple of minutes, so I figured the phone was handy. And he answered. And I said, "Well, I did read your text, or I read your voicemail. I have a transcription feature on my phone." And I said, "I know you said that I could text the information to you, but there are so many good things to say about this individual. It was easier for me to call you than it was to type out all of the wonderful things that I have to say about this individual." And that's really the type of people that we should be. I've got people that I know that if you, in times past when they were working full-time as a mechanic, I said, "These are the people that I would call because I know that they're honest. And they have more knowledge about cars than I would ever possess. So I would recommend that you call them. If you need someone to do air conditioning work, I mean, that's what I do here at the program. These are people who I have encountered personally. They're not looking at get rich quick schemes or anything like that. They are looking to provide a valuable service to people in an honest and forthright manner. And through the years, I have encountered people who said that they were Christians, and I'm not here to judge their Christianity. All I will tell you is that their business practices didn't necessarily match their rhetoric. And at times I said, I may actually prefer in this case to deal with a person that's not a believer than I would this individual, because at least then I know what I'm getting. I prefer dealing with people that I have a relationship with, that I know that they are skilled in what they do, and that they are going to do it honestly, and they're going to do it to the glory of God. So Paul urges the church in Corinth about this one particular family. It is referred to as a household. And he said, "You know them." If there is one valuable lesson that I have learned through the years that's not a scriptural revelation, but it is, but it isn't, I didn't learn it because I didn't know the scripture. I just learned how valuable the scripture was through the school of hard knocks. And that truth is this: know them that labor among you. In biblical times, when the pastor was referred to as a shepherd, the shepherd was known to have daily interactions with the sheep. They would make sure that they were accounted for. They would make sure that they were in good health. They would make sure that there weren't any parasites that were trying to impose sickness upon them. There was a lot of valuable attention that was paid to the sheep because the shepherd wanted them to thrive. So when it says know them that labor among you, it doesn't just mean know about them. It means know them, know who they are, know what they're like inside the church, know what they're like outside the church. It'll end up going well for you when you know the people that you are dealing with. And Paul writes to the church and he says, you know these people. I was in a conference one time, attended a workshop, and a pastor was in there, a well-known pastor. He's retired now. And he talked about how at one point in his ministry, he got somewhat discouraged with something that was going on. And he was being considered to be the pastor of a church, a historic church, in the Assemblies of God anyway, in a different state, a different city. And he said that one of his influences, one of the people that he really admired in his life, came up to him and said, you could go there. And you could be one in a series of pastors that have served that congregation. And he said, there's no doubt that you would serve that congregation well. And then he said this, but this congregation knows you. This congregation loves you. And you're never going to find that someplace else. And as a result of that conversation, that pastor ended up staying, and his ministry was even more successful after that than it was before. In this era in which we live, there are a lot of people who want to come in, slip out, and not have anyone know them. That means that they may not know about your successes. It also ensures that they won't know about your weaknesses, your failures. I will tell you that God is not just God of my successes. He's also God of my failures. Those failures, many times, taught me things that I wouldn't have learned any other way. I've got a relative that is a facilities manager in a different region of the country, and they had a speaker that came through. The speaker was going to draw a crowd bigger than what the college could handle, and so they rented out this facility. She ended up getting to meet this individual and have a brief conversation with him, and was told this: success is a lousy teacher. Very rarely do we learn things from success. We tend to do more of our learning through our failures than we do from our successes. Our successes are evidence of things that we have already learned. So I encourage you to become a person that knows those in the church and is known by those in the church. Many times, if a person is kept at arm's length, then they are unaware of any struggle that you may be going through. And if they're unaware of the struggle, then there is a much smaller percentage of opportunity that they're going to be there to be able to help you. I pray that you will have a reputation both inside the church and outside of the church as a person who knows Jesus and represents him well. That's what Paul was saying to the Corinthians. He said, you know not only this man, you know this entire household. It goes on and says that it is the first fruits of Achaia. The terms there, first fruits, means that they were some of the first believers from that region. They weren't just necessarily responding to a wave that was already going on. They were getting in to what God was doing very, very early on in the process. There are people who, when it comes to accepting something that is different, something that is new, there are people with different paces as to whether or not they can accept that. And so there are your early embracers, and many times they like change just for change's sake. And I'm not a person that embraces change just because it's different. You can get some very unusual hairstyles just because it's something different. That's not new and improved. That just may be new. So I have this place that I frequent for lunch, and their menu changes frequently. One of the ways that I know that their menu is going to change is if it's something that I really, really like, it's probably going to go away. That might seem a little strange, but it's true. There's a lot of times that their menu changes have done away with one of my preferred choices. And so then I've got to go through the process of learning, you know, what else is there available, what's close. And every once in a while, I find something that I like better than I liked before. So there are some people that they will wait until it's already been accepted on a small scale, and then they will say, okay, well, now it's known well enough, then I'll go ahead and get on board with it. You know, in the business world, the early embracers, they would be probably called your venture capitalists. I don't know that much about the stock market. All I know is the stock market, whenever I've been in it, I've made a lot of other people rich, not necessarily myself. And so I don't get involved in that too much. I've got sound investments. If, you know, God says that his word will not return to him void. And so I try and store up treasure in heaven where moths and rust and thieves do not have any impact on them. So not opposed to having financial abundance. I've tried poverty. It didn't work. But I'll tell you what, I have tried tithing and being faithful to God with my finances, and I found that he is even more faithful than I am. And that system works. It works for me as an individual. It works for Merit Assembly of God, and we're just going to keep on doing that to the best of our ability. Then there are people that they're kind of the last ones on board the ship. They're the ones that they don't come along until it's the last option that is out there. They do not care for change at all. I have discovered that Christians hate change just as much as non-Christians hate change. So the household of Stephanas, when the kingdom of God came, they weren't waiting for the rest of the community. They were part of that first fruits that said, this is a way better way of life than what we've been experiencing. This is the offer of a lifetime. And the entire household got involved. They said, you know, the entire household of Stephanas. Now, men, let me say this. A lot of times, men are not all that motivational when it comes to the matters of faith. We're providers, we're problem solvers, but historically speaking, a lot of times we have withheld our spiritual influence and kind of said, you know what, that's really not my forte. It's not my strength. I'm not going to really get involved in that. I do remember a conversation that I had with a lady one time, and her challenges in life were many. There were lots and lots of bad decisions that were made in her life. And when we would have conversations with her, she would say things like this: I don't try and teach my children about God. I want them to make up their own decision. I want you to understand that if that is the approach you've taken, God can still do something with that, but the responsibility that God has given to train up a child in the way they should go belongs to the parents. Parents, it is great if you send your kids to church, but we have the opportunity to speak into them, into their lives, for a very small fraction of what a week looks like. The better model is for them to encounter God regularly through the interaction that their parents have with God. And as they watch that interaction, they say, that's how I want to live my life. That's how I want to live my life. So Stephanus not only was one of the first believers, but he was a father whose influence in his family's life included the realm of faith. So that when Paul is urging the Corinthian church, he's not just saying, I urge you to keep, you know, to be involved with Stephanus. He's not even saying, hey, Stephanus and his wife, they're role models that you can look up to. He mentions the entire household. The entire household. If church is not important to you, it'll be more than likely less important to your children. If the Word of God is not important to you, if prayer is not important to you, there's a really good chance that it will be less important to your children. I want to urge those who are listening to be role models in the faith. Role models in the faith. Don't just be a silent participant. Get to know the people around you. You may be able to learn something. You may be able to teach something. But I strongly encourage you, listen, if attending synagogue was so important for Jesus, the Son of the Living God, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and it says that he was in the synagogue, as was his custom, I think that there's a really high probability that being in the house of God is going to have a benefit for us that cannot be overstated. So be the type of person that people know and know about. So and that it touches your household. There was a statement that was made by a person one time. They said, when I was young and I was a new believer, I wanted to touch the world. And as time went on and I realized that I wasn't going to be able to touch the world the way that I had dreamed of, I said, God, if I could just touch my nation. And time went on, and the person realized, God, I'm not going to be able to touch my nation. If I could just touch my community. And time went on. He got older. And finally, he said, God, if I could just touch my family. If I could just be able to communicate with my family, maybe they will be more successful than what I have been. And the realization was that if those roles had been flipped, is if the man had set out to touch his family, he would have been more successful at touching his community, more successful at touching the nations, and more influential in touching the world at large. And so I want to challenge you that you get into God's house to the point where God could brag on you. You know, Paul's doing this under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. A lot of people look at God bragging on Job and then seeing what Job went through and said, if that's what happens when God brags on you, I don't want to have anything to do with that. Listen, I would much rather have God complimenting me and speaking of me in a positive manner than correcting me because I'm not living in obedience to his word. So I pray that when you do get involved in a church, that you know those around you, know them that labor among you, and that you will allow them to know you. Paul's not even there. Many times we can be so up close to something that we are not aware of the great things around us. And Paul says, look, I know the family, I know the household. I urge you to get to know them better. I had a family that moved to another area. I called the pastor and I said, hey, you need to get to know this family. They're a solid family. They'll be a blessing. And I asked the family, did he ever call you? And they said, no, not yet. And I saw him at a conference. I said, hey, you need to get to know this family. They're not a good family, because I said, look, they were part of our board and things like that. And you know what happened? They never, the pastor never got to know them, but another pastor did. And another pastor was blessed. We'll see you tomorrow right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, MerrittAssembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to MerrittAssembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.
When the night seems to say all is lost, gone away, but I know I'm not alone. By the light, she stands. There she waits.